So, how would you like to start this?
Well, I'll just start kind of sort of take up where we left off in 2020 or 2019, after we had the engine failure and made 80. And, after that year, we really wanted to reassess what we were doing. And at the time, honestly, we had no plans to return to Reno. We thought we had really given it our best shot. And, we were happy with the thought that we even stayed with Dreadnought to some degree
And
when I first started.
what year was that, Brent?
This was 2019. You
Okay.
know, when I first started racing, my first year was 1995, in the Bronze, which actually, as we discovered over the years, I think that was probably as much fun as we ever had. The faster we went, the less fun it became. But that being said, it's all fun. It's just a matter of degree. But in any event, after 2019, we felt very fortunate just to stay in the same lap with Dreadnought. And I remember seeing Dreadnought in the gold over the years, and that was really kind of an unobtainable goal to us to compete with it. But after 2019, when we made eight out, I can't even remember exactly what lap, the second or third, we thought, well, we stayed with it for a while. Maybe we could do something different. And we had a lot of technical advice, between 2019 and this year. And finally, after Reno was canceled last year, we started thinking, it was an effort between a lot of different people to get Miss A there in 2021. Obviously, we needed Ricky Schaeenholzer on board to come up with a new plan for the engine and really to start fresh with the engine, because there was not much salvageable out of the old engine. And then we wanted to come up with a plan in that if we can't get as much horsepower as Dreadnought or any of the other airplanes, can we clean Miss A up aerodynamically to some degree to make it faster? But then again, we didn't want to change the airframe so much that it wasn't a fun airplane to fly year-round, which is what we do with Miss America. Dan Martin was instrumental, and I can't thank him enough for everything he did for us this year. And that probably most people noticed, the scoop was out of Ridge Runner, and I think that helped us quite a bit. We also had some modifications to the cooling system, and that with Ricky Schaeenholzer and Greg and Scotty Butler and Pete Laws putting their head together along with Dan Martin, came up with a plan to eliminate the oil radiator, which was done, and an H model oil, not oil cool, I'm trying to think of the word.
Heat exchanger?
We used an H model heat exchanger in Miss A this year. And after it was installed, we had no idea, what its capabilities were. Everybody told us that it would work well. But as we found out, it was one of the more successful things we did this year. It worked beautifully and kept our oil temperature exactly where we wanted it. It made that portion of the flying much easier. So in any event, once we cleaned up the bottom of the airplane, took out the oil radiator, put in the heat exchanger, the new motor from Ricky Schaeenholzer was a conglomeration of a lot of different things. People have talked to us over the years and questioned, why don't we use the tube, et cetera? Well, one reason is we have a real logistical issue in getting in the airplane from Oklahoma to Nevada, in that having ADI for the whole flight was just logistically very difficult to us to plan and to execute. So we elected not to go with a tube motor for that reason. Plus, we had total confidence in the motors that Ricky had been building.
You always
We built.
have been at a bit of just of a, excuse me, a disadvantage. I'm getting a little feedback here. It's hard to talk. you've been at the disadvantage if you've got to come all the way from Oklahoma.
Well, getting the airplane out here has its good and bad points. The bad point is it's just a long way. But it allowed us to put some time on the race motor each time we came out. So I think that was one of the benefits. But then just the logistics of moving a crew out here, putting them up for several weeks, and just bringing all the equipment that we needed is just a problem that we would have to deal with each year.
Mm-hmm.
Fortunately, Les Sauls at Balls Out Aviation at Reno helped us tremendously by letting us use his equipment, his hangar, when we needed it. So that helped us quite a bit. But in any event, so we got
Doc, let's get that plug in again for the person that let you use their hangar.
Oh, that was Les Sauls, S-A-L-Z, at Balls Out Aviation at Reno, and also Albie with Classic
Aviation. Classic
Aviation has always been very helpful for anything we've needed. So between those two gentlemen, they've always made life as good as it can be for us out there. And I think the Reno Air Race Association has always been helpful to us. So we don't have any complaints with any of that. That was fine. When we got here this year, I think if there was any weak link in the system this year, honestly, it was me and my flying. I think I have flown better in the past. This was the first year that I was really in the chase and up close enough to Dreadnought, and I think I was intimidated by that issue. On Monday with qualifying, again, it was my fault. I had called for the clock, and I thought I would get the clock on the next lap around, but I saw the green flag with qualifying. So I did my lap, came off the course, and I thought that was a bit odd that I got it then, but I assumed that the green flag meant that it was okay for me to qualify, and I called on the radio, and they told me I had a good time, and so I assumed I was qualified. Well, the rules with the unlimited class say you have to do a level lap before you take the timing lap, so that was my fault for just being naive and thinking that was okay. But in any event, so we didn't qualify exactly where we wanted to. The first race that we went, we thought the engine performed well. We did not want to go out and try to win that race. We wanted to really come in second and try to position ourselves all week for where we'd be in the gold, and try to slowly break in the motor each race a little bit more and more. Well, as you know, I flew high and got disqualified. Again, I will take the full responsibility for that. So then that put us into Friday and the silver race, which actually was a lot of fun. And it's sure a lot easier to stay down on the course and be exactly where you want to, where you're in the lead. And yeah, that worked out well for us. We had planned on Saturday to try to finish second and then start out on Sunday next to Dreadnought. We thought that would probably put us in the best position to try to perhaps beat him on the start. But as it turned out, with the wind and the cancellation, which everybody agreed that was the safest thing to do, we started out on the outside on Sunday. I thought Miss America accelerated great down the chute, but still we have just a lot of physical distance we have to make up. And I came around the 5 and 6 high, and I just stayed up high, and I probably should have gotten lower on the course. But again, I was intimidated by the wake of Dreadnought. If you have ever been in a Sea Fury wake, much less Dreadnought's wake, it's a significant experience.
Yeah, I've heard that.
So, in any event, I assumed the lap that I cut the deadline, I think Dreadnought was passing another aircraft, so it was high, so I had to go even higher than Dreadnought, which put me out on a little farther radius, because on one lap, when I stacked high on Dreadnought, it actually slid out a little bit, and I lost sight of it, which then I had to go wider just to regain that sight, because I knew I wasn't far enough past Dreadnought to come down on the course without really getting in his way or potential collision, so that just wasn't worth that risk. But anyway, during the race, the plane performed beautifully. I think that was probably the fastest Miss A has ever gone. You know, when we came to Reno in some of the past years, we would come to place well or do as good as we can. But the only reason we came to Reno this year was to win. And on the gold race, that was full RPM and full throttle for the entire race.
Wow.
You know, I could see I was perhaps closing a little bit on Dreadnought, but not enough to overtake her and just run past her. So one of my thoughts in staying high, which didn't work, was that if Dreadnought made a mistake or somehow was slowing down, then I'd have the energy from up high to come down and pick up some acceleration, maybe get past her, but that plan didn't work. In any event, the airplane was not hurt at all, the gold race. Now we're trying to decide, one, will we come back? And if so, what's our new plan?
Well, Brent, I've got to ask you because it's an elephant in the room right now. Because I actually probably started it. I picked up some talk on Facebook, which is probably a bad thing to start with. But there was talk that there was radio conversations going on between opposing pilots that were giving Dreadnought clues on where you were going to be and blocking, which,
you know,
was any of that going on?
You know, if one, I'm not on any type of social media, so I haven't seen any of that information, and I don't remember any airplane being in my way. The airplanes that Dreadnought passed and I passed stayed low and tight to the course, so if there was any, I didn't see anything, and it didn't affect me in the least.
Well, I've actually in the past been kind of an advocate of it might not be a bad idea for everybody to have spotters on the course, not necessarily to tell the pilot where to go, but to tell him where not to go for safety issues. So
I think I
my foot into a big can of worms on this, and I have a lot of people curious, and I'm really appreciate your honesty throughout this conversation. You're owning the week. You're not blaming it on anybody else. I think we can put that room to bed.
Our crew, I mean, performed beautifully. Ricky Schoenhauser's engine performed beautifully. I just didn't fly great. Now, would that have made any difference? Could we have beaten Dreadnought? Had we been second? Who knows? You know, maybe that's a question for another year. But like I say, I couldn't have been more pleased with how my crew and Miss A performed. You know, as far as the altitude and flying high, you know, again, I remember the old days with Tiger winning, and people flew high because it was safer. I've never quite understood how they think you can put faster airplanes in a smaller area and that deconflicts things. But
That's another whole discussion that actually kind of branches off of this, that in the old days, you may well not have been disqualified. And that's up to, obviously up to somebody other than myself. That's up to you Unlimited guys and the FAA and however it works out. But we always want to see everybody safe. And I'll tell you what, you got a lot of fans, Brent.
Well, like I say, you know, safety is our number one thing. Is that, you know, everybody wants to go home in 2 weeks. And so I wish they would change that rule, but, you know, again, it's their sandbox. They get to decide what rules people fly by, and people get to decide whether they want to play in the sandbox.
Well, so we now come to the question. I'm sorry if I interrupted, but we now
No, no.
I've got this echo. We've got just a tiny time lag between you and I with this recording setup I have. We come to the question, Doc, are you going to come back? We want to see you back. We love you.
Well, I would love to. Our main sponsor and his wife, which is me, are ready to pull the plug on the project due to failure to meet any of our operational goals last year. But we'll see. We love going to Reno. The crew is like family to me. Not only do we do this at Reno, but we're always around each other. We love being around each other, and that's really, for me, one of the great things about Reno is just the camaraderie. I get to fly with, pilots I feel that are some of the best in the world, and
I'm feeling that same feeling myself these days, Brent. It's I think the racing is just an excuse for all of us to get together and say hello again.
It is. I think, and I don't know what the solution is. Towards the final laps, Dreadnought and I are closing on other airplanes that are probably 50 to 100 knots slower than us. And at that time of day, things are starting to get a little bit hazy, and the other airplanes are kind of lower on the course, and things start kind of blending together. So you really have to kind of be on the lookout. And really, not only was I looking at Dreadnought, but fortunately I could hear, his radio calls about other airplanes in front, so that would give me a heads up that another plane is coming up. So that made that task easier for me. But I think, whoever's flying Dreadnought, whether it's Joel or Dennis, they're both great pilots. I mean, Dreadnought's an incredibly fast airplane, and I feel fortunate that we stayed as close as we did.
Well, the back to the what's kind of started my week. What about would NASCAR spotters? I mean, the guys out on the pylons that would again not tell you where to
Right.
go, but tell you not where not to go because you're blind and they can
Well,
see.
I think, it's easy enough to see the pylons and the deadline. The hard thing, unless, when you're in clean air and out front, it's very easy to stay low and down on the course. When you're behind something with a lot of prop wash, your tendency is to get up and get out of it. And there's really no great visual cue to tell you how high you are. I guess you could look at your altimeter, but and the altimeter in Miss Hay is below the windscreen, and I'm just looking out the windscreen, and we have the critical engine instruments right there on my side, so I don't have to take my eyes off the flight path at all. Looking at an altimeter, looking for 50 or 100 feet difference, to me, would make me more unsafe.
So bottom line, so I understand where you're coming from, you would not be in favor of having, if everybody, all things being equal, everybody had an equal amount of spotters, you wouldn't necessarily.
I guess. I mean, I can't. I mean, with all that radio traffic going on, I mean, it's hard enough, and I'll just put this again on me. I have a hard time hearing anyway, much, especially when you turn that engine up to that RPM and that manifold pressure. It's deafening in there, and it's difficult to hear, radio transmission that you expect, much less just chatter. So I don't, that may help other things. Maybe if I could hear better, it would be of value to me. But right now, that would not be an issue with me.
Well, it's awesome. I think we can put that issue to bed. With that, I'll let you get back to your Sunday if you're ready to do that
Well, Wayne,
and tell you that.
I hope the your readers, I hope this is of some help in explaining what went on this week with us.
Well, I know everybody was there was an awful lot of anticipation because we knew, word gets out, not real good word, but we knew you were going to be faster. We knew you were putting some go fast stuff on there, but nobody knew how fast, but we knew you were going to be faster. And there's a great deal of disappointment, and I'm sure you're disappointed as well,
Well,
but I
sure.
sure appreciate your honesty.
Well, we were disappointed, but then again, we have an airplane that's not broken, and we'll just reassess the situation. And I can promise you, if we're back in 2022, it won't be to place, it'll be to win.
All
Otherwise, we
right.
won't
Well,
show.
I can tell you what, there's a bunch of thousands of us looking forward to that year next year and hope to see you back, Doc.
Well, thanks, Wayne. I appreciate it. And I appreciate all the support from you and your readers.
Oh, hey, you guys can't do it without our help. We can't do it without you guys. So,
Yeah, it's a symbiotic relationship.
all right, we love you, Brent.
All right, thanks, Wayne. You
Take
take
care,
care.
buddy.
All right, bye-bye.
Hey, Brent, I'll stop the recording now, but thanks a lot, man. I do too, man. I think it would be,